To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 18th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus says, if your brother or sister sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If you are listened to, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If that person refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile or tax collector. Truly, I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Well, grace and peace to you from the one true God who creates, redeems, and sustains us this morning and always. Amen. We often go to the Bible to seek guidance for our lives, especially in times of trouble. We go to Holy Scripture with questions about identity, purpose, meaning. More often than not, when we do this, we are looking just for ourselves. More often than not, we wonder, what should I do? Who am I supposed to be? Where should I turn? It's natural to do this in times of trouble, when we are hurt, when we feel wronged, when we've exhausted our toolboxes and are at a loss as to how best to heal our broken hearts, to heal our broken relationships, to heal our broken ways. And when we do this, we often find comfort in those words, those ancient yet new living words of Holy Scripture. We find comfort, we find guidance, we find the help that we need. But sometimes we find answers that are daunting, difficult, things that we do not want to do. Jesus' advice to the disciples in our passage today can very much feel this way. One-on-one confrontation, if one has sinned against you, pull them aside, talk to them about it. But if they don't listen, bring a couple friends, gang up on them, push them, ask them, confront them, and hold them accountable to the witness of those friends. And if that doesn't work, haul them up before the whole congregation on Sunday morning and call them out on that behavior. And if all that doesn't work, treat them like a Gentile and a tax collector. Send them packing. Yikes. Anybody want to do that? Who wants to do this? Not me. And then whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. The loosening, okay, sure. But the binding, yikes, who wants to do that? Not me. And I signed up for this, right? I went to grad school and everything. The thing about this counsel that Jesus offers, these set of directions, this advice, is that though it may start with a one-on-one conversation, it does not end there, because this work is the work of the church, of the community. This work is not simply only for each of us on our own to do. As Pastor Rory mentioned, in the months ahead, we are going to be exploring some questions of identity, wondering about our purpose, our story, our identity as a church, as God's church, as Christ the King here in Bloomington. Questions like who, what, when, where, and why, questions we explored a little bit this summer, and we're going to do even more this fall and into the winter. These questions are important questions for us to contemplate. Questions of who we are and what we are supposed to do. This Sunday, even, we'll take those brochures Pastor Rory was talking about, those time and talent forms, and explore the different opportunities that each of us might find and discern the different ways in which we might participate in the work of this community, this church, God's church, Christ the King. Being a community is good work, but it's not always easy. Conflicts will arise. Feelings will be hurt. Sins will be committed. Jesus knows this. And this is why we have these words today. Jesus makes no assumption that we will be a community that lives in perfect harmony and loving relationship with one another. Jesus knows these bumps in the road will come along. Some easier to ride than others. Congregationalist pastor and scholar Charles E. Hambrick Stowe notes this. He says, Jesus speaks here in this text not of honest differences of opinion, but of a fellow Christian who sins against you. Such sin would surely include the offenses summarized in the Ten Commandments, but one might extrapolate it to mean any self-serving behavior that breaks the unity of fellowship in Christ. When church members injure one another, he writes, it is not merely an individual personal offense. It is a theological matter harming the body of Christ. Each step outlined by Jesus, the one-on-one, bringing two friends, gathering before the church to hold one another accountable, each step outlined by Jesus is to be undertaken in the hope of healing and resurrection and restoration, I mean. We are called to work together, to hold one another accountable, yes, but to strive at every turn to be a better, stronger community through love and forgiveness. And sometimes that work can be too difficult to bear. Too hard to see through, too difficult to achieve. And though it may seem at those times that we are free to dismiss those who prove too problematic, to do away with those who give us the most trouble, we must think again. Charles Hambrick Stowe writes again, what should the church do when restoration proves impossible because an offending person insists on his or her own way. Jesus' answer is not as simple as it may seem. Let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Churches usually hear this license as license to excommunicate, exile, or otherwise shun the individual. That would be the common sense approach. It's what happens at work. It's what happens in neighborhoods. It's what happens in our everyday lives in the community. The common sense approach to shake off the dust of one's feet, to wash one's hand of the person and move on. But as Hambrick Stowe notes, since Jesus often interacted with Gentiles, with tax collectors, prostitutes, and other unsavory outsiders, we should think more deeply about his meaning. In the verses that follow this passage, we have Peter seeking clarification about what Jesus has said. Peter says, Lord, if a brother sins against me, how often should I forgive? I think you guys probably know the answer. Jesus says, 70 times 7 times. That is, you forgive and forgive and forgive until it sticks. It isn't always easy to be a community, to share in the work of reconciliation, forgiveness, and love. And yet, that is what we are called to do and why we are called together in this place called Christ the King. So today, as we think about the work we might do, as we ponder these questions of who we are called to be, let us explore the many ways that we might serve alongside one another, and let us be filled with the reminder that Christ is in our midst, doing this work alongside us, lifting us up when we are low, pushing us forward when we are hesitant, and bringing us together over and over again. For where two or three are gathered in my name, Jesus says, I am there among them. Jesus is here in our midst. God has come to us, so that we might love one another, so that we might seek restoration of relationship with one another, so that we might forgive each other and forgive each other and forgive each other as many times as it takes, until we all know the grace of God. Amen.